Evening and hello everyone. I'm so glad you joined us today. The Triumphant Word Christian Center, you're at the right place at the right time for the right reason on the right day. So we're so glad you tuned in and logged in and for us to see us here on Facebook Live. We invite you to like our page. We invite you to follow us and get notifications of anytime we're on live so you can stay connected with us. If you want to connect a little further, you can just choose to email us at connect@twcc-sa.org, or you can connect to us by via phone by text. 210 is the number, and 941-3322. And so we'd love to hear from you. Log in. When you log in, tell us where you're watching from. Tell us you're watching online with us. We'd love to have you join with us each and every time and stay connected and engaged. And send us those comments and responses as well. And so we'd love to hear from you. We read all the comments, and we'd love to read yours as well. Let's go before the Lord right now and honor him with our giving. So we want to give everyone an opportunity to be generous. It's almost the end of April, and so we want you to listen to your heart, be led of the Lord, to be generous. We often say here at Triumphant Word Christian Center, friends, that being radically generous is our norm. So being radically generous is our norm. Now, Isaiah chapter 32, verse 8 in the New Living Translation says it this way, but generous people plan to do what is generous. So you think about it. Generous people actually plan ahead and think about generous things and generous thoughts that they want to engage in. And I guess they stand firm in their generosity. And so how are we going to stay firm and stay blessed and protected by God? Being generous. So they think about generously giving. Now, generosity is different to people than others based on what you have, and it based on how, the proportion of what you give and what you contribute. And so that's different for different people based on where you're at. But we often say generosity usually starts with the training wheels of tithing. That's 10% of what you got in via income or increase. And then, of course, God trains you to take off the training wheels of tithing, get over into offering, get over into over and above giving. And we often say over and above giving will help you live in over and above living. So praise God. So we want you to be generous. You can text your gift to us at 210-941-1605. We'll have the information up on the screen for you. So you can just put the dollar amount in there and just text it to us, or you can give through our website, www.twcc-sa.org/give. And it's easy, it's convenient, it's simple, and it's secure. So you're giving safely and securely when you give through our website. So we so thankful to the Lord, and we thank you for being generous this month and continuing next month. Praise God. Let's pray and receive those offerings and offer them up to the Lord. Father God, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. We choose to give freely out of a willing heart, Father God, because we love you and we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we love the church, and we want to see Triumphant Word Christian Center fulfill and accomplish all that you've called us to fulfill and to accomplish. And we thank you, Father God, that we are willing and obedient in our heart and in our actions, Father God, to give and return what you back to you, what you blessed us with. And we thank you, Father God, for the promise of your word that when we give, it'll be given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will give into our bosom. And we thank you, Father, that your word declares that you will supply all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So God bless you as you give. Thank you so much for being generous in your giving to Triumphant Word Christian Center. Now let's get right into the Word. Wednesday night we teach and we unveil the Word by the help of the Holy Spirit and by His anointing and grace on our lives to be able to preach and minister the Word. So we're going to get right into the Word. So let's go before the Father and humble our hearts and prepare our minds to receive God's Word. Father, we thank You for Your holy written Word. And we thank You, Father God, for the privilege and the opportunity to receive from heaven tonight, to receive wonderful things out of Your Word. And we thank You, Father, for the helper, the teacher, our guide, our counselor, the Holy Spirit. We trust Him tonight to unveil and unfold the Word to our hearts and to our minds. We exercise our faith together in the name of Jesus for divinely granted utterance and, Father, divine illumination of Your Word. We thank You for revelation knowledge flowing freely and unhindered by any satanic force or foe. And we thank You, Father God, for the anointing to destroy every yoke of bondage that anyone might have. And we thank You for full liberty of Your Word and the confirmation of Your Word by Your Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. All to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen, amen, amen. So we're going to talk tonight about revelation of redemption. Revelation of redemption. So we're still talking about the blood of Jesus, but this is the revelation of our redemption that we need to embrace and we need to take to another level and a deeper dimension in our respective lives. And so, friends, I want you to really dig in and hone in and focus tonight because it's not just information that will help you live victorious in life. It is revelation that will cause transformation to occur that will help you live victorious in life. So we don't just need more information because, you know, we can stay on our devices and get information 8-12 hours a day. But that doesn't bring transformation. We need revelation. Now, we often say when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, he sinned and fell from the glory of God. He fell from that realm of revelation, that glory realm. And he fell from revelation to information. And we often say that we're in an information age, but the information, more information makes people more confused, more cluttered in their minds, and more clouded in their thinking in theology in this context. But we want you to really embrace the revelation truth of God's Word and walk on a higher dimension and level of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in your life. So here's some scriptures we have on revelation knowledge just to kind of get us started here. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." Now remember, with no revelation, the Word of God is of the Word. You basically take its ability to be able to constrain your behavior in what you think and what you say and what you do. So with no revelation, you cast off restraint. That means you're there's no governor in your life. There's no control mechanisms that really keep you in the way of God in your life. And of course, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Amplified Bible says it this way. It says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God. Now listen to that. Redemptive revelation of God. The people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. So we all need a redemptive revelation of God. We've been talking about the blood of Jesus, and we need a redemptive revelation of the blood of Jesus. So our faith can grow in the blood. Our faith in the blood can go to a next level, so to speak. Now, Jeremiah 51:10 says this, "The Lord has revealed our righteousness." Yes, he has. Through Jesus and through his death, burial, and resurrection, we've been righteousness of God has been revealed to us. Come, let us declare in Zion, the Old Testament, we often say is Zion, New Testament church, the work of the Lord our God. The work of the Lord our God. Come, let us declare that in Zion, in the church, as a part of the church, not coming to church per se, but being the church. Come declare the work of the Lord our God. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. It says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Verse 27, to them who willed, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, friends, the deceptive and the destructive belief systems have trapped millions of people in spiritual darkness and devastation. I'll say it again. The deceptive and the destructive belief systems have trapped millions of people in spiritual darkness and devastation. Confusing, and clouding doctrines continue to clog the minds and blind the eyes of way too many Christians and people. Doctrines is just simply our belief system or our system of truth, and that as we have embraced. So there's such thing as false doctrine, and there's such thing as godly doctrine based on the truth of Scripture, the truth of God's Word. But with what I call the three N's, the news, the narrative, and the noise that's out there, clouding people's minds, filling us up with information, it can cause our doctrine to get polluted or diluted away from the truth of God's Word. We lose our revelations and we just settle with information. So we are afforded opportunities by God to receive His amazing grace and goodness daily based upon our faith and trust in Him. So daily, as we've said, we should be exercising and releasing our faith in the finished works of Jesus. That means His death, burial, His resurrection, and His ascension. What does that mean to you? Because the Holy Spirit will take the things of Christ and translate them to us for our personal victories. And so the Holy Spirit will help us grow up spiritually and grow up in our faith. So every day we're supposed to live by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. That means we don't walk by what we see, hear, feel, touch in the natural sense of things. We don't walk by appearances, how things appear. We're not deluded or deceived by what the environment or our circumstances are telling us. We walk by faith and not by sight. Praise God. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. In other words, that's the way we have been justified by through faith in His blood and faith in Jesus' finished works. Then we have been justified, and in other words, declared righteous, so that we are to live not by what we see and feel, but we live by what we believe. And we believe the Word. We believe what God says more so than what we believe what we see and feel. See, faith is simply our belief system's investment in the revealed Word of God. Our faith is to be based upon knowledge, but it's revelation knowledge of God. Specifically, as we've been talking this month, faith in the blood of Jesus, as we've been emphasizing this month. The blood of Jesus in it is an integral part and central thread, so to speak, of God's great plan of redemption. We just don't need more information about the blood of Jesus, but we desperately need a revelation about the blood of Jesus. Praise God. We need a revelation. We need to be able to see and hear on a higher level. See, and the acts, and by the acts and exercises of our faith in the blood of Jesus, we do several things. We, number one, we access the benefits and blessings of our redemption in and through the blood of Jesus. So somebody said, well, you know, you got an account, a bank account, but you forgot your PIN number or you forgot your account number. Well, you can't access the money that's in there. Let's just say there's $1 million in there. You can't access it. Well, you have more than money can buy in the blood of Jesus, but you can't access your benefits and blessings of your redemption through the shed blood of Jesus, because if you don't have faith in the blood, if you don't have revelation knowledge where your faith is based upon in that blood, you won't access it. You won't even use your benefits card, so to speak. Number two, you appropriate the precious promises of the eternal blood covenant that God has, our Father, has enjoined to us through Jesus' blood. So you think about it. Most prayers are desperate prayers. Most prayers are pleading and begging prayers. Perhaps sometimes, most of the times, they're not even in faith. They're in fear. But how do we appropriate what Jesus bought and paid for with the shedding of his precious blood? We have to appropriate it. In other words, we have to acquire those things by the exercise of our faith. And so this revelation that we need in redemption in the blood of Jesus is needed so that we can appropriate the promises of God. What his blood was shed to provide for us for? What was his blood shed to provide for us for? Well, we know there's great promises and great things that have been validated, that have been confirmed, sealed, made good for us, confirmed for us, that we can appropriate and acquire by the grace and help of God. But it's through our faith. Number three, we activate the powerful elements of peace, power, and protection and provision. But see, if we listen to the news, if we listen to the noise, if we pay attention to the narrative that the world is telling us, we get afraid. We're afraid to leave our house. We're afraid to even walk down the street. We're afraid we're going to catch germs by something. No, you're covered by the blood, and you, if something gets on you, you can get cured and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. There's nothing in us that the blood can't cleanse. There's nothing in you that the blood can't cure. You got to activate your peace, because you get peace through the blood. You have power. We also said that song, power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. And you need protection. We're not talking about some wimpy little chimps that can't protect you from somebody coughing 6 feet away from you. We're talking about divine protection. Where the Bible says in Psalms 91, no evil shall befall you. No plague shall come near your dwelling place. Come on now. No demon, no devil, no disease can touch you and still live. You're protected under the mighty hand of God by the power of God. Protection is there because of the blood. John 1:7 tells us that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin, its forms and manifestations in the Amplified. It's sin. That means it cleanses you from the effects of sin, the presence of sin, the power of sin, and even the penalty of sin. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But you have to walk in the light of the revelation of God. The revelation of his great plan of redemption for you and me. Fourth, we get to boldly approach God's throne of grace daily without fear, guilt, shame, condemnation, or inferiority. You know, one of the biggest sins or missing the mark is prayerlessness. People don't pray. People don't pray because they're afraid of God, they're ashamed, they're embarrassed, or they don't want the condemnation of thinking that, well, I don't deserve to get my prayers answered. Praise God. That lack of boldness won't get us anything. We got to boldly approach God's throne without any sense of guilt, fear, condemnation, or inferiority. And we run boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise God. And Hebrews 10:19 says it this way, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Everybody say boldness. See, you also need to have boldness to deal with the devil. You won't even speak the blood, because that's a form of prayer, binding and loosing. You won't even plead the blood. You won't even deal with that sickness, that lying symptom that's nagging your body, because you're ashamed. You're ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Praise God. Now, the Holy Spirit, we have to understand, is our minister of revelation. We got some help in this department, friends. We got some good help in this department. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 13 tells us. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, all God has prepared, made, and keeps ready for those who love him. Now, most people think, well, this is when I get to heaven. No, he has things prepared for those who love him right now, right today, 24/7, 365. For those who love him love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. Man, that's good. Look at verse number 10. Yet to us, God has unveiled and what? And revealed them by and through his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. For what person perceives or knows and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except a man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths and spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? So most people say stop at verse 9 and say, well, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know if this thing is going to come back, but the Holy Spirit knows. And he's your minister if you receive the Holy Spirit. If you've been born again, blood-washed child of God, you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows. He knows the end of your life to the beginning of your life and everything in between. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen around the corner next week. He knows what he knows. He's an expert. He sees ahead. And he'll show us things to come. In other words, he'll reveal these things to your spirit. Why? So you can have courage, number one, and confidence. You can have courage and confidence to face tomorrow. to face the future, to face that mountain, to face that problem perhaps that's been nagging and bugging you. You have courage and confidence that all things in this matter are going to work together for my good because I love God and I'm called according to his purpose. Now, John 16, 13 through 15 says this about the Holy Spirit in the Amplified Classics. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak of his own message or on his own authority, but he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father. He will give you the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. Isn't that good enough? That will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me, Jesus talking about himself. The Holy Spirit will honor and glorify Jesus because he will take and receive, draw upon what is mine and reveal. There it is. He will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everything that the Father has in mind. That is what I meant when I said he, the Holy Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. So the Holy Spirit will reveal to your heart and illuminate your mind with revelation knowledge. As we've shared before, many times before, that the primary ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the ministry of revelation. Is the ministry of revelation. Everybody say revelation. But see, the Holy Spirit, friends, is a gentleman. He's not going to force revelation on you. He'll sit and allow you, as you permit yourself and you kind of put him off in your life, the Holy Spirit, he'll permit you to be bombarded and flooded with information. But information won't bring transformation. Revelation will bring transformation, which will bring results in your life. We all need a greater revelation of the blood of Jesus. We need a revelation of the great God's great plan of redemption in our lives. We need desperately revelation to live by revelation. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us receive revelation. The revelation of the truths of God's word and the revelation of God's will and plan for our lives. We need it. We need to know, hey, this is what I'm here for. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is why I'm supposed to be doing it. Throughout the scriptures, God has progressively revealed himself to people of his different attributes as our covenant making and covenant keeping God. We call them the redemptive names of God. In other words, as our redemptive relationship with him in and through Christ, such as, you know, this name, El Shaddai. El Shaddai, I may be pronouncing it incorrectly in the Hebrew, but it means Almighty God. The Almighty God, the one who nourishes, satisfies, and supplies our every need. We need a revelation of El Shaddai, that he is the God who is more than enough. Some people say, well, I'm not going to have enough. What if this thing comes back? What if things get worse? What if I don't get another stimulus check? No, you know, you got to have a revelation of El Shaddai. Somebody said, glory to God. And then you need to have a revelation of El Elyon. El Elyon means the Most High God. The Most High God, the one where there is no one like him. There's no one higher, no one bigger, no one better than the Most High God. And that El Elyon is your very own father, and you're his very own child, and you got to get a revelation that nothing's too high for the Most High. He holds the highest rank, the ruling authority, much more than anyone or anything in creation. He is the Most High God, but you need to have a revelation of him. When God was ready to enter in covenant with his people, he revealed his personal covenant name, and it's pronounced Yahweh, well, we say it in English, but Yireh in you know, more modern understanding. And so some people need a personal revelation of who God is. Who is God in my life? Now let's turn to, I'm going to turn to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 22, verses 12 through 14. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to see this concept in the making. Now in Genesis chapter 17, God had revealed himself to Abraham as El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. And then they did the circumcision, they cut covenant. And then he went on to reveal himself in this account, as we'll see, as another name. Now let's look at verse 12. We'll pick up verse 12. And the Lord says, lay not thy hand upon thy lad. He was getting ready to offer his son, Isaac. Neither do thou anything unto him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket of his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. We might say, or Jehovah Yireh. Jehovah Yireh, as it is said today, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What does Jehovah Jireh mean? Jehovah Jireh means the God who sees ahead and sends provision. You got to have a revelation of Jehovah Jireh. He sees ahead. May is turning the calendar this Friday. We turn into May next Friday. So he sees ahead. He's already seen ahead in May. And if you have a revelation and faith in your father, the Jehovah Jireh, then he sends provision for me. More than enough. Hallelujah. And so God who provides, the God who provides. See, before this event, as we said, Abraham knew God as El Shaddai, or Almighty God. Afterwards, he also knew God as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to see the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we all urgently and importantly need. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read at verse 16, start reading at verse 16, and then I'll read down to verse 21 in the King James. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Listen to this very closely. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's yours and my Heavenly Father, the Father of glory, our Heavenly Father, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So God wants you to have wisdom and revelation in who he is. Now, he is your great Heavenly Father who gave us, as a sacrifice and substitute, his only son who shed his blood for us. Who is this father? You need to know him more. Why? If verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought where? In Christ. We said it before, what God wanted to do for everybody, every human being, he did it in Jesus, and then he put you and I in Christ or in him. And so he said that according to his work and his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, 21, far above all principality. That means all angels, anything in the angelic class, all, and power, anything authoritative, any authorities that exist, and might, every strength and any strength and ability, and dominion, any government or lordship, and every name that is named. That means anything that's named. Coronavirus is a name. COVID-19 is a name. Poverty is a name. Cancer is a name. Every name that is named, that not on this world, but that which is to come. And as Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? So we want the Heavenly Father to grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because God has to reveal himself to us. But in Christ, then we have a minister of revelation, the Holy Spirit, who will help show us things to come, but also show us the word, reveal the word to us, but also reveal God's will to us and for us in our lives. So friends, God wants to give us all the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that the eyes of our hearts or our spirits may be flooded and filled with light, enlightened. And that the light and revelation knowledge of his great plan of redemption for us to walk in the light and work from and in our service to him in the kingdom. See, our Father God just not interested in simply adding some notes. Notes are good. And making margins in our Bible, like I've got my Bible and I got notes in it. Or within our devotional reading electronically, we may make some notes or make some highlights in an app if we have it, so to speak. Say, this is what the Lord showed me today. Now, I'm not just talking about that. Those are good, but that's not full revelation and complete revelation. That's okay, but it's not good enough of the great good and great things of God he has for us. See, our Father God reveals himself to us. And why does he do that? Because he wants us to enter into a new experience with him. Just like with Abraham, he saw God as El Shaddai. Then God revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh. And it was a new experience with Abraham with God. He wants us to enter into a new experience with him that will take us from a new level and a new dimension of understanding and spiritual maturity. Friends, God never gives revelation purely for its own sake. He's just not dishing out revelation like we can just go to the internet or do a web browser and get information. No, he's not doing that. Revelation is always for the purpose of, number one, growth, and number two, advancement of the purposes of God. Growth and advancement of the purposes of God. Every breakthrough in faith, friends, in life is preceded by a breakthrough in revelation. I'll say that again. Every breakthrough in faith and in life is preceded by a breakthrough in revelation. So we've been learning about the blood, talking about the blood. Some of us have been really good at it, and I appreciate all the prayer partners out there praying the blood, pleading the blood every day. But we need more of a revelation of what that blood entails, what it includes, what its enlargement is to our respective lives and our families and our future. We need revelation. It's for our growth and advancement of God's purposes. See, in the light of our redemption through the blood of Jesus, and what it to really enjoy and experience the power and provision of the precious blood of Jesus, we must receive revelation from God about the blood of Jesus. Revelation that is ministered and shown to us by the person of the Holy Spirit. That means the lid comes off, the covers come off our eyes, our spiritual eyes. We begin to see, whoo, I didn't see that before. I didn't see that the blood can do that. The blood contains that. These benefits are now enlightened to me. I see them on a new level. These blessings of the blood of Jesus are now actually realized and experienced in my life. See, revelation knowledge can come through prayer. It can come through study and meditation in the Word. It can come through the preaching or prophetic utter expressions of the Word or a word from God. So we can get it through the word or from a word from God. However revelation comes, friends, to us, we need to move into the energy and the force of that revelation. So all of us, I'm challenging all of us to move into the force and energy of the revelation of the blood of Jesus. And what God imparts, when he imparts revelation, he wants us to enter into it, to enjoy it, to believe it, to experience it. With that, with revelation comes experience. You know, we know that simply speaking about healing. There's many healing, good healing scriptures. But why don't people experience more? They don't have a revelation. Their faith is incomplete in development of a revelation of the Word of God. Now, it only takes one revelation or one word from God to change your life forever. So in our pursuit of God, let's pursue and get from God, by the exercise of our faith, revelation in the blood of Jesus. Revelation of the things of God. Praise God. See, our Father God has opened the doors of revelation for us about the blood of Jesus during this season, during this month. Why does he give it? Just to give us more information? No. We need it. We need to walk in the light of it. We need to enjoy and experience the power of his blood in the next month and in the months ahead until Jesus comes. Glory to God. Praise God. But the choice is ours whether or not we'll go in and experience it. There's always some who choose to stand outside rather than step through the door. I'm challenging you and I'm calling each of you who watch to come through the door. See, fear, doubt, and unbelief and apathy keep us from entering into revelation. Every time, friends, we fail to act on revelation, we rob ourselves of an opportunity to know the Lord better and to be involved in his purposes. God is not interested in our standing or sitting around outside observing, and we're all just waiting. What is the Lord going to do? Or what is the pastor going to do? Or what are the few people who pray and lead and be engaged going to do? What are they going to do? No, it's about your relationship with the Heavenly Father and with the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And getting revelation of that. See, he wants us to participate with him in his kingdom work. Why did we have this situation that God is turning around for our good? Why? So we can all get awake and get ready to go to work on a higher level for the kingdom. See, our Father God and our Lord Jesus Christ are always working. Whenever our Heavenly Father reveals himself, whenever he shows us where he is working, that's his invitation for us to join him in what he is doing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. And we're going to close with this thought, practically speaking, about living on a higher level of sight and a higher level of hearing. Because every word from this forth out, we're going to be responsible to allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit to flood our hearts and get us to a point where we receive revelation about the truths that we've heard, revelation about the teachings we've received, revelation of the work of God and the will of God and the word of God in our lives. But we can't have apathy or spiritual dullness and density in our hearts and lives. And in 1 Samuel chapter 10, it gives us a brief account of Samuel when in his earlier days, when he was in the priest training department under Eli, who was the priest at that time, and prophet that time, in the prophet's ministry. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And there was no open, what? Vision. I mean, I'm talking about, man, this thing was rare. Nobody was hearing from God. Nobody was seeing from God. And see, friends, we've got a revelation of the blood of Jesus that gives us access into the holiest of all. We got a revelation that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We got revelation that we can be fellowship with God, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and fellowship and union and partnership with the Holy Spirit. That means we're hooked up, tied up, tangled up with the Lord. Hallelujah. But in those days, it was no open vision. In other words, there was rare. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim, and he could not see. Spiritually speaking, that's a bad spot. And there, Eli was in a bad spot at that time. And verse 3, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of God, the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran into Eli, because he didn't know it was the Lord yet. And he said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. He lied down again, and he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli. And Eli said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not. My son, lie down again. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed, listen to that, revealed unto him. Oh, we're getting the thought tonight. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli, and he said, here am I, for thou dost called me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Verse 9, therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as the other time. See, now the Lord came and just stood, right, you can imagine, right by his room. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And God began to reveal his will and his word to Samuel at that point. Now, this is a higher level of sight. This is a higher level of hearing that we all have to go to and grow to. Just because we go into May doesn't mean we can just regress and not make spiritual progress. No, we have to grow to and go to a higher level of hearing. We got to hear what the Spirit is saying, and we got to go to a higher level of seeing by revelation what God is doing. So we can participate and partner with him in his work here on the earth. Amen. And of course, what are the steps to go into this higher sight and higher hearing? I'm just giving you five quick steps and we'll close. Number one, we got to pay the price. You got to pay the price. See, Samuel begins to minister to the Lord. And minister is a word that means to attend to or give attention. Like a waiter or waitress. Restaurants open back up on Friday. Some of the dine-in restaurants will have waiters or waitresses that who attend and give attention to people they are serving. So when we minister to the Lord, we're giving our attention to the Lord. Well, in other words, we're waiting on the Lord. We're serving the Lord. We say, Lord, here am I. See, nothing reveals spiritual poverty more than silence. Now, what do I mean by spiritual poverty? I'm talking about bankrupt in the spirit. You're not hearing anything. You're not seeing anything. You don't know what the Lord's doing and working, particularly in your family, in your finances, and in your future. Or in the church. See, nothing reveals spiritual poverty more than silence. When you don't hear anything, when it's rare that you've heard from God, we ought to be living and breathing. What is the Lord saying? What is the Lord doing? See, there is a higher sight living by revelation, not just by information. We have to almost unlearn and get out of this super information highway of just thinking, I need to read another book. I need to read this. I need to do this. I need to do this. More of this, more of this, and become just consumer minded and just saying, hey, I need more and more information. No, we need to get revelation. But the question is, what really has my focus? The news, the noise, the narrative? Or is it the word of the Lord and the voice of the Lord? Second point, worship. Many of us have had time because we've been sheltered in. And how did we use our time? Well, I submit to you and I suggest to you, worship is needed more. Because worship moves the spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, that when they ministered to the Lord, in other words, they worshiped the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit speaks. It moves the spirit. Worship helps you and me zoom out. What would he zoom out? Everybody needs to zoom out your perspective of what's wrong with you and what's wrong with your circumstances. But everybody needs to zoom in on God and what's right about God. Number three, we need to pay attention to the tension. So how we respond to problems, pressure, and pain. We do it out of fear or out of faith. We got to ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Why am I being overly conscious of all the rules and guidelines in my own home? Now, it's good to have good safety precautions and health precautions, but some people are afraid sitting on their own couch. We don't respond to pressure, problems, and pain out of fear. Fear is false evidence appearing as real. But faith is full assurance in the heart. We got to pay attention to the tension. When the problems, the pressure, the pain comes, we have to respond to it. And we can't just be late responders. We got to be like they call in the community and our municipal services, first responders. Faith should be our first response, our first responder in our lives. In other words, when that tension comes, our faith rises up and takes action. And faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. But doubt complains and worries and gets sad. Number four, we got to look with eyes of love. Some of us look bewildered and almost a shock and awe of the people walking around with the various makeouts of their mask and their face coverings and you know, protection thing. Some people even have gloves and masks on in the grocery stores and stuff like that. And so, but you got to look at people through the eyes of love. This is an opportunity for people to see the Jesus Christ in you and me. This is an opportunity for God's love to be extended as they're walking through your neighborhood and walking down the sidewalk and walking around, even with their babies and their children or grandchildren. And some of them may have masks on. You just see, bless them in the name of Jesus. Pray for them. Look at them through the eyes of the Lord. Look slowly through your community. And look slowly through the crowds at the grocery store and the retail stores as they begin to open back up with the eyes of love. Not complaining that people just trying to buy up everything or burdened down with fear. Don't talk about what the devil's doing. Talk about what the Lord's doing and going to do. Number five, be faithful. Lastly, be faithful. Everybody say, be faithful. See, God is not looking for the fast. He's not looking for the famous. He's not looking for the who's going to come up with the newest fad in mass fashions or sanitizing technology. He's looking for the faithful. He's called you and me to be faithful unto death, faithful to the end. Faithful means we'll become fruitful and multiply and we'll bring increase to God and increase to the kingdom of God because of our relationship and also our revelation of him. Praise the Lord. I hope you got something out of that tonight. Praise God. Let's pray for those who may need prayer. If you need prayer, if you need specific prayer, just give us a text, 210-941-3322. Or you can connect, send an email to us at connect@twcc-sa.org. But let's pray for those who might have a heavy heart or hurting body or may need healing for their soul, their emotions in that regard. Or you may need to come to Jesus and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. Say this out loud with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. He was buried, took my penalty and punishment to the grave, and God raised him from the dead. I believe it and receive it, and I thank you for it, Lord. And I confess Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. And I thank you, Father, that I am saved, born again, blood washed, child of God. And for those of you that are hurting, I just sense that in my heart, in my spirit. Hallelujah. Those that are hurting, dealing with nagging symptoms, lying symptoms of the devil, from the top of your head to the sole of your feet, I declare the healing power of God saturate your spirit, your soul, and manifest through your physical body. I declare the healing power of God is working mightily in you, affecting a healing and bringing a cure and undoing anything and everything sickness and Satan or disease has done to your physical body right now in Jesus' name. By the stripes of Jesus in 1 Peter 2, you are healed right now in Jesus' name. We send the word, Psalms 107 verse 20, to you, to your spirit right now. And it heals you and delivers you from any destructive disease, infirmity, or debilitation in Jesus' name. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Be delivered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for healing many, many people and for saving many people who prayed and received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We love you so much. We thank you for watching us through this broadcast. Get revelation, friends. Stick with God. Pay the price. It's going to be well worth it, the cost, in the days ahead. God bless you. We'll see you later.